This is the third week of our stewardship season, our month-long journey where we identify and proclaim who we are, the people of Good Shepherd. To recap, we began 2 weeks ago with our identity in the eyes of God, the reality that we are beloved and made in the image of God. For our faith community, that story began in 1878 as the Church of Good Shepherd down the road. For humanity, that story has been going on since the story of Genesis. Last week, the stewardship season and our story continued with our identity as friends, as members of a community outside of ourselves, solely as individuals. Therefore, we are beloved and we are friends. Today, I focus on our identity as neighbors, as although we are a good shepherd, we don't exist in a vacuum, but rather within a complex social, political, religious, geographic context that constitutes our neighborhood and our small part of this world. Defining what a neighbor is a good place to start. Luckily, someone asked Jesus that very question in the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus answers with a parable of the Good Samaritan. That story serves as a good definition, but a difficult one, as Jesus' definition of neighbor is all-encompassing. It can be daunting. Similarly, in our gospel today, we witness Jesus crossing over barriers of class and ability to reach out to a neighbor who he sees, but many others do not. It was a struggle for his disciples to do this, to see the blind man. It's a struggle for the early church, and it's a struggle for us today. It's an important question, however, to consider as we think about the stewardship of our resources, how we understand Good Shepherd's relationship with our neighborhood. Here's one way of looking at it. In terms of neighborhoods, it's said that medieval man and woman woke up and the first thing they did was said their prayers to God. They were joined in the knowledge that everyone in the village was doing the same thing. That meant something, and they would do that all throughout the day, confident that their collective prayers meant something. That's medieval man. Modern man and woman woke up and reads the newspaper, skipping over the prayer part, but joining himself and herself with their neighbors by looking over the news about the community. Postmodern man and woman wakes up and is surrounded by social media, technology bringing the virtual reality of neighborhood to one's fingertips. Because we are human, all of these are flawed visions of what a neighborhood is. Even the medieval village with a church at its center, and indeed our current digital neighborhoods that actually seem to be offering more division than community. So what is a neighborhood? I recently watched the documentary Won't You Be My Neighbor, which came out this year and profiles Fred Rogers, the host and creator of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the long-running PBS television show that I remember watching and adoring as a child. In this documentary, Fred Rogers says, quote, "Television has a chance of building a real neighborhood out of a whole country." The tragedy is that of course, did not take place. But that's a sort of radical understanding of neighborhood that has its antecedents in Jesus' understanding of neighborhood. Fred Rogers was a Presbyterian minister who was ordained as an evangelist for television and spent his whole life trying to break down barriers through that then new medium and trying to connect with children, the most vulnerable members of our community. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood debuted in 1968, 50 years ago, in a time notable for its divisions in American society. Over the Vietnam War, racial issues, and political violence, over assassinations. That polarized society bears much resemblance to our own, the documentary is quick to suggest. And therefore, it makes a helpful document on how to interpret our own times. In the show, Fred Rogers tackled all these subjects and more: war, violence, death, grief, divorce, change, anxiety. And although there was a make-believe land, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood was not an escapist dream that could insulate children or adults from the realities of life. Rather, as one commentator in the documentary states, the neighborhood is not a fantasy place, but a place where you have conflict, real conflict. Mr. Rogers' neighborhood provided tools and strategies to deal with the realities of life. Recall the famous images from the show. Fred Rogers interacting with a handicap, not unlike the blind Bartimaeus from our gospel. Rogers communicating with Coco the chimp. Rogers cooling his feet in a pool of water, and then inviting the African-American police officer from the show to join him. A scene that looks an awful lot like how we understand foot washing. In doing so, Rogers tried to make that space between television and the individual child holy ground. In that effort, we see a template, both for defining what a neighborhood is and for figuring out how to live in that neighborhood, what the responsibilities and demands of the gospel are. Fred Rogers did not see that as a burden. I'm not sure how he did that. He was just so nice. He saw the answer to that question, "Won't you be my neighbor?" as an invitation to love. Because he said, the greatest thing we can do is to make sure someone knows that they are loved and capable of love. Those are good marching orders for stewardship. The realization that knowing and understanding your neighbor is nothing short than an invitation to love. Luckily, we don't have to do it alone, because I know that I can never live up to that standard. We do it as a community, as a beloved community, as a community of friends. We are Good Shepherd, and we live in this neighborhood. For 140 years, we have tried to seek out the needy, the blind, those who are in need of Christ's healing. Very often, those persons are ourselves. Other times, there are folks that we know and love from near and far, and that through our outreach programs, our personal witness, our affiliation with community partners, we reach out our hands and feet so that we can be Christ's hands and feet in the world. In doing so, we yearn to be a community, a neighborhood that is a community of joy, not a crowd that does not see the beggar in our midst. True healing then comes with the formation of a community of joy. In doing so, we join with Bartimaeus, the disciples, with Fred Rogers, as we go on our path of discipleship, on our way to the cross. We know that by doing so, it requires us to throw off our cloak, to give up who we are, our former lives, in order to join Jesus and follow him on that path. But by doing so, we regain our sight. We truly see our neighbor, and we come into full knowledge of